Now, the title of my message, I love myself. Okay, it's not that kind of I love myself. But I want you to say it. Say it quickly. Okay. Do you mean it when you say that? Say it again. I hope that you mean it when you say that. Okay. I'm going to talk a bit more about that in a second. But I first want to show you a little video clip. I haven't shown you a clip in a long time. I'm itching to entertain you for a second, so if we can get that.
Alright, so this is the Russian roulette routine.
Works better with the visuals. There we go. I say.
I was telling you about called Stigmata. What it is, it uses a knife, four styrofoam cups, and a turntable. The knife goes in the turntable where it can spin around, and then I cover up the knife with one of the styrofoam cups. The remaining three spots are also covered up with styrofoam cups, and then I spin it fast enough that nobody can see where it goes. In a live performance, I might obstruct the view of the audience for just a bit so that neither me nor the audience knows where the knife is. And then I make my psychic selection, and if all goes well, ta-da! Alright, so this is the Russian roulette routine I was telling you about.
Okay. That's a very good example of how not to love yourself. Don't get into that Russian roulette stuff. Okay. The Russians have done a lot for mankind in the last 100 years, but that's one game that we could do without. Can I have an amen? Okay. All right, so I want to take you to Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as..." You say that. Yourself. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, a lot of us struggle with this. A lot of us beat ourselves up emotionally, psychologically, mentally. We have low self-images, a low esteem of ourselves, like low. And we might be conned even by the enemy into thinking that is some form of humility. And we'd be lying to ourselves. That is a false humility. We must never think, you must not have a lower esteem of yourself than anyone else. Everyone is equal in the sight of God. Everyone is equally precious to the Lord. You are not less precious than someone else, and you dare not think yourself less precious than someone else and think that you're doing the Lord some favor by thinking that way. You are not. Many of us are struggling with this kind of thing, and it kind of manifests in different forms, self-rejection and depression and all sorts of things. People with low self-image, lack of confidence. And what you do when your head's in that place, you withdraw yourself out of the church, out of the community. Because when you think that way, you don't think that you can make any valid contribution. You don't think that somehow God has a place for you where you belong and where you fit in and where you are validated, where your contribution makes a difference in other people's lives. And what I want to tell you today is that is wrong thinking. That is not truthful thinking. That is not in line with God's word. God, Jesus said, this is all the law and the prophets summed up. First love God, then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Everyone on equal level. I don't want you to love me the way you love yourself if you think you are worth nothing. Then it's like, I don't need that. I want you to think I'm precious, but I want you to think that you're precious. Then if you think that you are precious, then you can love me the way you love yourself. And I want everyone to know that today, each one is precious in the sight of God. I'm not saying, in other words, that we have to that we must in any way selfishly put our own needs in before anyone else's needs. That is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about how you view yourself in light of God and how He sees us. I'm saying don't compromise in terms of these two all-important questions, and that is who you are and whose you are. Think to yourself for a second. I'm going to keep quiet for like 20 seconds. Whatever first pops up into your head, because that's a good indication of where you're at in terms of your thinking around this. How do you view yourself in terms of your value in society and compared to other people? Who are you? Where is your identity found? Think about that for a few seconds. And now just tell yourself who you belong to. Who do you belong to? Who do you submit to? Who is your highest authority? Who are you serving? Who's your king? And you must be honest, we've spoken about this many times before. I mean, practically you can ascertain that if you look at your how you spend your time, energy, finances, leisure time, all of these kind of things. But it starts with inside. Who do you belong to? Okay, so we want to love God and we want to love others, but that's going to be very hard if we don't love ourselves first, as I said. How can you love someone else? That's why I said, don't come love me if you don't love yourself first, because you're going to love me the same way. Isn't that true? Often the people that struggle to receive stuff, like say a gift, if someone wants to bless you with a gift and you struggle to receive it, you don't have it in you to take something that someone wants to give you. Often it's those people that struggle to give as well. And it's that kind of thinking when it comes to loving others as well. You can't love yourself, you're going to struggle to love other people. The prisons today, and I've done some prison ministry as well, and the people are broken in prison. They feel nothing for themselves. Absolutely nothing. They would feel that it is right if someone treats them like a doormat and walks all over them, kicks them around, spits on them, swears at them. That is like, that's what they expect. That is how they value themselves, most of them. And certainly those that don't know the Lord yet. That kind of thinking is what got them there in the first place. They didn't start thinking that way when they got into prison, although it could be aggravated there, but they started thinking that way long before. That is why it's easier for them to hurt other people, and then they end up getting arrested and getting into prison. And obviously everyone's born with kind of, you know, all the opportunities in the world, some less than others, but we can all make it. I mean, there's so many rags to riches stories, so we can just take that as a given. You know, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. Anyone can make it out of any place. It's up here that counts. And obviously, a lot of people in adverse conditions, and there's been hurt from young ages, and it starts affecting their thinking about themselves, and they end up in that way. But the point is, you got a lot of people that think nothing of themselves. And because of that, they mean very little to other people. And we must watch out. It's a sickness that one finds in the church as well, where people think nothing of themselves. It can manifest in chronic depression, self-rejection, self-loathing, all of these kind of things. And it's very sad, but the Lord has something to say about it. And He's got an answer. He's got a cure for that sickness. And this is what I want you to get in your head today. The Lord loves you, and you're precious. And we need to start submitting to the truth in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 to 20 says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. verse 18, or 19 rather, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't want to focus on the sexual immorality thing. All I'll say is don't do it. Okay? But for the rest, the focus there is you do not belong to yourself. Who gives you the right to treat yourself like rubbish? You do not belong to yourself. You better go and ask God how you should start treating yourself and how you should start thinking about yourself. You belong to God. You were bought at a price. We know what that price is. We need to start looking after ourselves. We're three-part beings, body, soul, spirit. How are you practically looking after yourself in your body, your soul, and your spirit? I can't tell you to do it, love yourself, and not tell you how to do it. Now I'm going to tell you how to do it. And so if you come to me in a month's time and you say you don't love yourself, and I know that you were sitting here, and I ask you, but did you do those things? And you say no. Then I'm first going to give you a hiding, and then you're going to do those things. Okay. So, love your body. How do you love your body? Hands up. Leslie, how do you love your body? Keeping it in shape. You want to know how? Come speak to Leslie. Inner. Eating properly. Oh, we've got it on the board there. It's a dead giveaway. Okay, now I can't ask the questions anymore. Exercise and eating healthy. Guys, some people that are depressed, primarily it's because of these reasons. They never exercise and they don't eat healthy. Okay? And that it affects when you're exercising, it releases endorphins in your body and stuff. It's like feel-good hormones. Okay? That's why I love tomato sauce. You can ask Charlene. I put it on everything to freak her stepbrother out one day. I put it on my ice cream. Okay, I'll eat tomato sauce on most anything. Tomato sauce has tomatoes have lysium in it. That's a feel good mineral or vitamin or whatever that is. Okay, that's what I feel good most of the time. Really, I feel good, and you know, praise God for tomato sauce. Okay, personal preference: Wellingtons. It's tangy. Okay, it's good. They're not sponsoring this message, by the way. Yeah. I know everyone's all go. I'm Wellington's, okay? All right. Eat healthy and exercise. People, please. You know, I cycle once, maybe twice a week. And if I don't do that for 2 weeks, if I don't train at all, then one starts feeling a bit cranky. I promise you, exercise helps a lot. And eating healthy, I mean, you know, if you've had a binge day and you eat junk food all day, the next morning you wake up with a hangover and you haven't had one beer or anything. Really, it's like bad for you. You don't feel good, all right? I mean, I always joke where I tell people when we got out the video the one time and I got some, then I like getting a little packet of chips, you know, and I like the chips, and Charlene used to like the chocolate, so I'll get chips and a chocolate and a cool drink, you know, and the DVD, because we don't get out much. Having a little baby, you don't get out much, okay? So that's like your kind of entertainment together for the week or whatever. And now I went into the Pick and Pay and got the chips and the DVD and the chips and the cool drink and the chocolate, and this is all I got, okay? And I went to the till, and the lady at the till looks to the packer, and she's talking, Causa. I made out one word that she said in the middle of that sentence. It was I binge. She's like, this guy is going to go and binge on this stuff now. So I just smiled at her. It's like, I didn't know what you just said there. But yeah, you don't feel that good after you have a whole packet of chips. You don't feel very good. Anyway, but if you exercise more, it kind of compensates a little. Then you can still have your little chocolate on the side. Okay. Anyway, eat healthy. And Ina eats really healthy. I'm glad she put up her hand and you know, Leslie is serious about his exercise. So you can talk to them, seriously. If you don't know how to eat healthy, exercise, this is very practical, basic stuff. but yet we don't do it and we feel bad and we wonder why. Your soul is your mind, your cognitive, your intellect, your will, your emotions. That's your soulish self, okay? Now that, to maybe give yourself a break there. A lot of psychologists will tell you me time. Maybe they call it something else. But some time of solitude on your own, where you get a chance to think about things. And I'm not talking about praying and meditating like that, but even just time thinking about stuff, giving yourself a time out to think and sit by yourself by the sea and stare into the distance. That is good for you. That is good. That's time where you unload, where you empty your emotional dustbin, you know, where it's not going to hurt anyone. All right. That's good for you. Some me time and some reading. You know, and I recommend you read a broad range of authors and whatever. It doesn't all have to be, you know, like strictly scriptural stuff. But obviously watch out what you read and what you fill yourself with. But there's enough other stuff that's, you know, whether it's a sport magazine or something or whatever, you know, you can just spend some me time, spend some relaxed time. A lot of people are overstressed, man. It's the start of the year, and some of us here has been as though we don't haven't had a holiday. And it's just been December, but some haven't had a holiday, okay? But others have had some time off, but they feel like they haven't had a holiday. Man, it's stressful for many people to be alive today and the jobs that we have. And we have to take time out, and you have to plan it. If you don't plan your day, someone else is going to plan it for you. You got to schedule your priorities and make sure that the other things fall around that. Okay, now I'm saying the things that are basic, that are up here, these are priorities for us. And your spirit, very importantly, everything's connected. Spend time in the Word of God, spend time praying to God. And make sure that you're in a fellowship, that you encounter other believers. Because within those relationships with other believers, that's where you're going to get built up. They're going to support you in the tough times. They're going to help strengthen you and encourage you when you need it. We cannot be isolated and think we're going to be okay. All right. The guy's out there on his own. He gets taken out. It's very interesting that they also have made studies. Maybe Wim Johan can also verify this, but apparently there's a new science called epigenetics where they've determined that your habits that you form before you have children, before you fall pregnant or before husband helps the wife fall pregnant, those get passed over to the children through the genes, the habits that you form. So loving yourself, at least on that level, can be equated to loving your neighbor as well, or it's connected in the sense that if you look after yourself and form healthy habits in terms of exercise and eating and time management and so on, those kind of habits can get passed through into the genes and make it easier for your kids to form the same good habits. You see, that's epigenetics. Now, they're obviously still doing studies in that area, but I just thought that's very interesting. And it's just an extra motivation for us now before we have kids to form good habits. That's why I was in a terrible hurry to do the Ironman before we had Christian, before we fell pregnant with him. But then I got the injury. And then my mother said, now all you're going to give him is bad knees. But I just canceled that word of discouragement. And then I went for it the year after. And Charlene ran over the finish line while she was highly pregnant with me and so on. So at least Christian has a taste of the finish line. Okay. But Esther, she'll be the one who will do the Iron Woman or something. Anyway. So I threw that in for free. As a believer, you have love. We have no excuse not to love ourselves. We have love. Everyone sitting here believing in Jesus Christ has love. We must use it. Use it or lose it. Okay. Romans 5 verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Who has the Holy Spirit here? Everyone who calls Jesus Lord has the Holy Spirit. In other words, you have the love of God inside you. And God, that is the love that you got to tap into for yourself. And you're struggling to love yourself, and you, it's such an effort to love other people and even to love God, because you got this low self-esteem, you bought into the lie of the enemy, and now you're angry at God because, you know, who he made you and who he made the person next door, it seems much better. And it's difficult to love other people because, you know, it's not moeilijk. Tap, you know, make life easier for yourself. Start loving yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you mustn't love God again or other people. As I said, you love God first, then you love yourself and you love other people the way you love yourself. But we need to start using that love that God has given us. Start using it on yourself first, okay? You can love yourself. Now, when I got saved, the biggest thing for me, my first experience of God and Him being real, all I experienced was love. That's all I experienced. Love like I've never experienced before. I felt so loved. I felt so accepted. I felt how God approved of me and everything. I felt His affection. I felt affirmed in who I was. He came and He validated my existence on earth, where that was something that I wondered about. What am I doing here? Life wasn't making sense. Nothing was working out in my life. And God came, and in an instant, when He revealed Himself to me, all I experienced was love, love, love. And that was in spite of the fact that I was a bad person. And I knew in an instant, God loves everyone the same. My sister came to visit me shortly thereafter, and she was so shocked by the way I was treating her. For the first time in my life, I was treating her with kindness and gentleness and just love. And, you know, this wasn't me. I was always like, you know, get out of my way. I've got more important things to do. You know, I had like zero relationship with my sister. And the love of God changed me in a second, but He loves us. You know, and what happened there, I can liken to that song of the Newsboys, that one verse where they sing, "No guilt in life, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the love of Christ in me. No guilt in life, no fear in death." And that was a reality for me, what happened in that instant. The Lord forgave me my sins, and I had zero guilt, all the bad things I'd done. And maybe some of us are beating ourselves up over falling in sin, over what we've done. Now, if you have Christ, you have no condemnation, the Bible says. No guilt in life. You're struggling with guilt. That is of the enemy. The enemy wants to hold it against you. But Jesus nailed to the cross the requirements of the law, fulfilled. The enemy cannot hold anything against you. He's got nothing against you. Every law has been fulfilled by Christ. Everything, nothing has been left undone. It is finished. God is satisfied. The substitution that Jesus was, the word is propitiation, that He was in our stead, hanging there, has satisfied the wrath of God. God is no longer angry at mankind, but we need to receive that free gift. And then there is no guilt in this life. And no fear in death. You know, something I realized was that I feared death before I knew Christ. It's like the sword kind of hanging over your head in a sense. Because you know one day you're going to die, this is all going to end, and who knows where you're going to go. But there's like an inherent fear in mankind of the pending judgment. That's all I can think that it must be. The unknown, the darkness, what happens next. Everyone's going to fear that. No fear in death. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. God is love. With the love of God, there's no guilt, there's no fear. Don't be afraid to love yourself. Don't beat yourself up with guilt. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrated His love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Every one of us that has been saved by Jesus, we were saved when we were sinners, we went from death to life in an instant. We didn't first kind of work our own way towards that and earn it somehow and by our own effort crawl into eternal life. It didn't happen. We were well on our way to hell, and Jesus stood in the middle of that road and he said, I give you the grace to turn around. You can go the other way. While we were still sinners. And that hasn't changed. God doesn't change. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love towards us hasn't changed. He loves everyone. Everyone. And his love towards you doesn't change. If you read your Bible for 2 hours this morning, God doesn't love you more than what he will love you tomorrow when you forget to read your Bible or when there's no time to read it or something. It's not gonna. His love towards you doesn't fluctuate. He's not like us, you know. He's well in control of his emotions and his actions. We must learn from him. We must receive that love. If God loves you, give me a logical explanation why you can't love yourself. If God himself, who knows everything, who's all powerful, who alone is God, he is God alone, and he loves you. He says, I love you. You are worthy of my love. You are worthy of the love of the Most High God. Then that is the final say on the matter. No other person can tell you that you are not worth anything. Least of all, you yourself. Who are you to say that you are not worth being loved if God says that you are worth being loved? How can the clay say to the potter? God is the final authority. What he says counts. Again, some of us, we think it's humility. It's not humility. It's false humility. It's the counterfeit. It's the enemy keeping you in bondage, keeping you out of God's will for your life. You are failing the great commandment if you don't love yourself. You're doing yourself and the rest of humanity a disservice. And you're trampling the blood of Christ underfoot. God loves you. You must love yourself. Say it again, I love myself. If you're struggling with that, you must repeat it until you believe it, okay? Often our thoughts follow our actions. And you need to start saying that to yourself. And start, maybe you need to spoil yourself. Go and buy yourself that little gift, or that little chocolate that you've been holding out on, okay? Make sure the rest of the week you eat healthy. But some of us need to, you need some me time. You need to spoil yourself a bit. You need to show yourself that you love yourself. Now, I've numerous occasions since coming here, the Lord has given me visions in terms of his love for us. And that is of the waves rolling in onto the shore. And it's just that picture of and him showing me his love towards us is relentless. It's coming at us the whole time, and it will not stop. The Lord will never give up on you. He will never stop loving you. He will never stop pursuing you with his love and his affection. He will never stop trying to show you that he loves you. And you know, actually we hurt God when we reject that, and when we persevere in our stubbornness to tell ourselves that we don't love ourselves and to treat ourselves less than. Because God loves us. And he's trying to show us. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us. Christ came to give us life in abundance. It's the enemy that came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if you're not loving yourself, you're living in that place of destruction. Man, we've passed from death to life. Christ loves you. He came to give you abundant life. Are you having abundant life? Can you say, I can say that I'm having abundant life? I don't deserve it, no. But I'm enjoying it because Christ has given it to me. Because He loves me. When you reject that by saying to yourself that you're not worthy, not valuable, that hurts. Imagine you went through the greatest effort to make up this Christmas gift for someone. You didn't just go quickly to Woolworths and buy something nice. You actually made something. You went to Builder's Warehouse, okay, and you bought like a box of screws and wood and a saw, and you carved and saw away at this thing, and you made this massive, beautiful sculpture of an eagle, you know, catching a fish that has like a golden ring in its mouth or something. You know, it's just something fantastic. Okay. Whatever. Now, it took you a long time, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get this thing just right. Okay. I'm talking about 2 months. You started in October. And you made it for your best friend. And now you go to them. You want to give it to them on Christmas, and you're so excited for them to see this, and they say, no thanks. I mean, how will you feel? It's not lekker. And when we don't love ourselves, that is what we're doing to the Lord. Except much worse, because He gave us His own Son to die for us. And we say, no thanks. It's true, isn't it? He loves us. The motive for Christ coming was because He loves us. God so loved the world that He gave. Now, if you say to yourself, I don't love myself, how can you receive the love of God? That is what we're struggling with. We're struggling to receive the love of God. And for many of us, it's because we struggle to love ourselves. And when we don't receive the love of God, it's like slapping the Lord through the face. What you did at the cross means nothing to me. That's what we're saying. And that's wrong. If you believe in Christ, you have to love yourself. You have to love yourself the same as what you love other people. A Christian is not a doormat. Meekness doesn't mean allowing yourself to be kicked around by everyone else. It's strength under control. It's a commandment to love yourself. Then you can go and love your neighbor in the same way. Everyone is equally precious. Because if we allow that mentality, then we might get into that thinking that some people are less precious than other people, and we start treating people differently. And that is not Christ-like. Christ came for everybody. The beggar, the lame, the blind, the rich, the tax collector, everybody. Romans 8, verse 38 to 39. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, you can read that with me, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's read that one more time out loud, everyone. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therein lies the answer in how to receive the love of God. We have to receive Christ as Lord, as Savior. We have to recognize what He did for us at the cross. And we have to receive that free gift. This infinite love of God is ours in Christ Jesus. How are we doing with that? That's an everyday choice. That's not something that you only did on the 24th of March, 2003. That's when I did it the first time. But it's an everyday choice to receive Christ, to submit to Christ, to follow Christ, to believe in who He says you are and in where He says you're going. Everyday decision. How are we doing with that? Because I'm convinced on the days that we don't love ourselves, we're not following Christ, are we? Receive Christ. Christ is the picture of God's love. He's the epitome of God's feelings towards us. We always need to remember that. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The Lord has elevated us into bringing us into His family. He calls us children. I love my little boy. And nothing he can do wrong will make me kick him out the house. Nothing. My love towards him will never change. Sometimes I can be upset with him, or like, you know, a bit frustrated if he's maybe screaming and I'm trying to do some work here, whatever it might be. But my love for him doesn't change. I never want him to be abandoned or anything like that. And there's nothing he can do to make me love him less. Nothing he can do to make me kick him out. You know, and God loves us even more than that. He's got perfect love. My love's not perfect. But I want you to be convinced of the love of God for you, and that that doesn't change. You are His child. Christian is my child. I love him, but I'm just a human, a frail, fallible human. God is God, and He calls us children. You better believe He loves you. And He wants you to be with Him the whole time. He's not intimidated by your weaknesses. He already squared it up when He sent His Son to the cross. He's not angry with you. He's not angry with you. And He's certainly not an old man with a big stick waiting to hit you over the head. Do not equate God to maybe what some of our fathers, how they treated us. They're not God. And we also can't expect them to be. And we need to forgive where we've been hurt. But we need to accept the love of God. The fact that He's our perfect Heavenly Father. A last scripture here. 1 John 4, verse 15 to 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we get the love of God. That's how we step into eternity. That's how we step into our destiny. That's how we step into purpose and a meaningful existence and an abundant life. Joyous, peaceful, loving, free, no confusion. It's about knowing and believing. It's not on a feeling. I'm only human. I still have days when I'm a bit down, when I'm a bit low. I just kind of don't have the strength to do something. But I don't submit to that feeling. I live by faith. We walk by faith. I live based on my belief. That is my framework. And so I know where my help comes from. I know who loves me. I know when I'm feeling low or about myself or I'm unhappy with something I did or whatever and I feel I could do better. You know, I get encouragement and inspiration. I go to the Lord and get that from Him. But I don't sit there beating up myself by thinking I'm worth nothing. I don't tap into self-pity. That is just a poison. Because I know that I'm loved. And I know where to go to get love, to get topped up. So that's what we need to do. When you feel down, you run to God. And that running, you might have no energy. It's just as easy as just closing your eyes, shutting the outside world out, and just focusing on the Lord. Just cry by the Lord. Ask Him to help you. Just go to Him. That's how easy and how quick it is. He's near to all of us. He's with each and every one of us. We do not need to spend one moment despising ourselves when the God of the universe has said that He loves us. Maybe some of you aren't feeling like that or have never felt like that before. Maybe you know someone who does. Now maybe it will help you just to pray more earnestly for them. But it's really something that we need to, I just felt it's something that we need to address, you know? And something that's very important. If I can ask the worship team to please come up and we're just going to do that last song that we wanted to do. And if I can also ask the ushers to please hand out the communion elements. Now this week in our small groups, there's a DVD that I want us to watch. I've got it at the back there. If the small group facilitators or if your facilitator isn't here, the intern or one of the group members, just sign for it at the back there. But there's a DVD, it's called Furious Love. I want you to watch it in your small groups. And that's just about different people that have had a revelation of the love of God. And the love that God has for everyone. And so they go around and they go and share the love of God with people no matter what sin they're in. They go and share the love of God with people and they watch people's lives change before their eyes like this. It is truly an inspiring DVD and I want everyone to watch it in their small groups this week. Just how a bunch of people go out and they love the unlovable. And what I want you to see with that as well is that God loves everybody and God loves you no matter what you did, no matter what sin you find yourself in now, no matter how far you think you are away from God, you can be with God like that. And you can make things right like that. Because you know what? It is finished. When God judges you, that has already happened. That happened at the cross through Jesus Christ. And that judgment amounts to mercy. Jesus hung there and He says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. God is not judging anyone. He's not judging the people that you see on that DVD on Wednesday night. And you're going to be shocked at the people that you see. The people that encounter God and the love of God. You'd have think that's not possible. That guy is too far away. That guy can't be saved. Or who wants to go to a person like that? But I want you to know it's true for them and it's true for you as well. God does not judge them. He has meted out his judgment on Christ at the cross. And he does not judge you. God is not angry at you. God loves you. And you need to come to terms with that. If you've ever doubted that, if you're struggling with depression, self-rejection, self-pity, low self-esteem, wondering how you can make some kind of a valid contribution, you need to come to terms with that. God loves you. Everyone that he made for a purpose, to experience his love first and foremost. And everyone has a purpose in this life. No matter how short your life is, you have a purpose in this life. God doesn't make mistakes. We must stop looking with our eyes and start looking at other people as well, how God sees them. And start looking at yourself, how God sees you. You need to go and have a long look in the mirror. And you need to tell yourself, I love myself because God loves me. Some of us can't look at ourselves in the mirror. Because you don't love yourself. That person that you see staring back at you despises you. Maybe you wish you were never born. Now, believers should never sit with those kind of feelings and thoughts for too long, because that's from the pit of hell. If Satan gives you a thought like that, because he can, you reject that immediately in the name of Jesus Christ. And you proclaim that the Lord God loves me. That's why I sent his son. He has called me a child of God. I do not receive this lie. I will not submit to this feeling. The truth prevails. Love never fails. I'm just going to let the band sing. You can sing with them, or you can just meditate on the love of God, the love that he has for you. If you want to, you just close your eyes, and I want you to think. You don't even have to be deep spiritual. Just think, what would God say to you now? Based on the truth in the scripture that I shared with you tonight, how does God see you? What would he say to you right now if he was in front of you? I know what he would say. You just think. I just come against the spirit of depression in this place in the name of Jesus. I just cut it off the members of this church in the name of Jesus. I just come against any spirit of self-pity over anyone sitting here tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I just come against any spirit of false humility, any counterfeit humility in this place in the name of Jesus. You will have no place in the believers' lives in here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just come against any spirit of self-rejection and self-loathing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no place in the children of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I just speak love, the love of Christ, in leaps and bounds, in abundance over every person sitting here tonight, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for fresh revelation of the cross and of your love for each one sitting here. I thank you, Lord, just for filling and the infilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, for everyone sitting here tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that with your Spirit, Lord, we receive, Lord, your love. And we thank you for your love tonight, Lord. We receive your love in Jesus' name. I thank you that each one can declare boldly that they are loved by the Most High God. And I thank you, Lord, that each one can boldly say that they love themselves because the King of the universe loves them. Now thank you, Lord, for an end. An end, Lord, to any self-loathing, Lord, in Jesus' name. An end to low self-esteem and low self-image and low self-worth in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, I just speak your love and your destiny and your purpose and your calling, Lord, over each one, that you would reveal these to them, Lord God. Lord, even in this week, Lord God, that each one will grow considerably, Lord, in that revelation, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a point of no return for many here tonight, Lord God. They will not go back. They will not go back, Lord, to Egypt, Lord, in that sense, Lord. They will not go back to their old self, Lord. They will not go back to death, Lord. But they will move forward, Lord, in life. They will move forward, Lord, pressing on towards the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on towards that prize, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I plead your blood over every life here tonight. Your blood speaks of better things, Lord. Your blood holds promises and hope. Your blood deems us valid and worthy. Your blood is the cost at which we were bought. Not by gold, not by silver or any other thing, Lord, but by your blood, Lord. The highest value. You place the highest value on us, Lord God. We are more valuable to you than the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field, Lord. We are the height of your creation, Lord God. You have created us in your image, Lord. We will not reject ourselves any longer. But we will recognize that we are precious in your sight. That we have a powerful destiny and calling on our lives. That we can make a difference in this world. Because the love of Christ abounds in us. And I pray Philippians 1 verse 9 to 11 over this church, Lord. That your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That you may approve the things that are excellent and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I pray that the church would abound in the knowledge of God's love for them, Lord. That they would know the love of God. That they would know, Lord, that nothing can separate them from the love of God. In Jesus' name. Just want you to take that bread. Lord, we thank you for these consecrated symbols, Lord, of what you did for us at the cross. And we receive that gift of love. We receive that gift of eternal life. We recognize what you did for us, Lord, that your body was broken for us, crushed because of our transgressions and our sin, we deserve to hang there, Lord, not you, but you did it for us because you love us. And we remember tonight what you did for us, Lord. And may we live according to that revelation, Lord. We will not submit to the lies of the enemy. The enemy that wants to destroy us and kill us and steal from us. We will not submit to his lies. But we will submit to the truth of your word, which tells us that you love us and that you died for us. Lord God, that your wrath has been satisfied once and for all. We recognize that. And Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for taking our punishment upon yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Let's eat together. Yes, Lord, we could only be washed of our sins, Lord, by your blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your blood tonight. Your blood that was shed, Lord, for the remission of our sins. Your blood that flowed, Lord, for our sake. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in you, Lord, there is no guilt for us. There's no condemnation for us. There's no stored up anger or wrath of God for us any longer because of your blood, Lord. There's no fear in this life for us, Lord. We don't have to fear death, Lord, because we just go to be with our Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Thank you for washing us clean. And thank you, Lord, that you will perfect us in this life. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Let's just stand up, please, and then we're just going to sing it once more from the top. Everyone together, we can lift the volume and lift the ceiling. It's a bit low for me. So before we go home, let's just praise the Lord for what he's done for us, eh? Is anyone thankful to God for what he's done for us? Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him praise.